It is a very exciting time of year. It is March Madness. And for the madness, I'm kicking it off with the first ever guest in Sip of Naderade podcast history. I welcome on a Purdue fan, Jacob Preston, onto the pod. We talk for over an hour about college hoops, everything that we see in this bracket, where he sees the Boilers going, how tough it is for me to be an Indiana fan and watch all of this, and more. Please listen. It's a super exciting interview. We talk all about the bracket. If you haven't filled yours out yet, get ready because we'll give you everything you need to know. Let's hit the music. Let's start sipping. We now welcome Jake Preston onto the podcast. It is March Madness, so I wanted to talk brackets, wanted to talk college basketball. My team is not in. Of course, Jake went to Purdue, so he's got one of the one seeds. It's going to be an exciting time for him. But anyways, we both grew up in the state of Indiana. College basketball, basketball has always been a very important part of our lives, so thought he would be a great person to have on. Jake, welcome on. Thank you for coming on. Want to jump right into it? Let's do it.
Yeah, Nate, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So first thing I want to talk about, we had an interesting bubble situation with conference tournament week last week. We now officially have the bracket, but I kind of gave you the sneak peek. In the past, I would say I've not really cared about arguing about who's on the bubble, who got in, who didn't get in, because overall, those are teams that are not going to win. I felt like I kind of cared this year. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, as we kind of talked about a little bit before, the Big East, you know, only getting three teams in, like most of that due to some of the bid stealers. But, you know, I think Seton Hall and Providence and St. John's, I think they do have a little bit of, you know, some beef with the committee based on, you know, Dayton, Michigan State, like those caliber teams getting in over them when they had more quad one wins and, you know, they had better ends to the season.
Yeah, totally agree. Seton Hall, I saw a stat yesterday. So they have an incredible resume. They had six quad one wins. And then I read that they were the first ever team in the 45-year history of the Big East Conference. They went over 500 in conference play and they didn't make the NCAA tournament, which is kind of crazy. I really like, I don't know if you watched any of the Big East tournament last week. I kind of got to the end of that Big East tournament and was like, this league just knows what they're doing. Like when it comes to college basketball, it is such a cool atmosphere at Madison Square Garden. There's so many good teams, so much exciting basketball. The coaches, I feel like coaches are such a big thing in college basketball and they seem to really like have it down. And to only get three teams in after having so many of the things that I would want to see in March, it kind of sucked. Yeah. But like you said, it was definitely a lot of bid stealing. I wrote down that UAB, New Mexico, Duquesne, NC State, Oregon, all kind of won at the end of the week last week and really just popped a bunch of bubbles for teams when it came to Selection Sunday. And I mean, that's tough. It's real tough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for those teams that we were talking about before, I mean, I still think, you know, like the St. John's and the Providence, like they still do have an argument. But the one team that, you know, I looked at some of the last four teams out and Oklahoma was in there. They ended on a very rough stretch, being 1-4 in their last five games, not being very good defensively. So I think that kind of took them completely out of it. But I mean, I don't even think New Mexico should have been a, you know, really a bubble team. I think they probably should have been in it regardless.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised to hear that they were on the bubble when they went through that. I was like, they could have flipped that around easily, but.
Right. And I mean, but the committee was clearly super low on the Mountain West this year. just because they really didn't win outside of their conference when it came to, you know, your quad one wins. They all beat each other up basically in conference. It's like, you know, Utah State went 4-5 in quad one, Boise State 6-5, and Colorado State going 6-7 against the field. Three teams right there that all got, you know, I think Utah State's an 8 seed, but Boise State and Colorado State getting 10 seeds. You know, they had a good resumes over teams like, again, Dayton, who got a 7 seed, and they had 0 quad one wins.
Yeah, yeah, it was very surprising. Mountain West was interesting because if you just look at the surface level, you're like, yeah, they got 6 teams in. Like, that's a great year for the Mountain West. But yeah, really, there was just that seeding that you were like, oh, I bet they're in at like a, you know, 7 seed that Dayton ended up at. And then you're seeing the seeds come out and you're like, how are they this low? So yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah.
One other team I wanted to mention, had to mention, of our home state. Don't know if you've watched any Indiana State this year.
Yeah.
They are just so fun to watch. They had the Robbie Avila kid that has just kind of swept the nation, and everyone predicted him to be like, this is going to be the sweet guy. And when it comes to March Madness, he's just, this is way overestimating his skills, but he's kind of like Jokic and the way that he, you know, manages the court. Obviously he is not Jokic and he's the best player in the world, right, but the way he manages their offense, he can stretch the floor and shoot threes. Everything that they do runs through him. They practically play a 5-out offense. When it is 4-out, 1-in, he's the one in, but he's a threat from the perimeter, sets really good screens. I was super excited to see them in. I am annoyed because I learned Indiana State's the highest net team ever to not make the tournament. And
being at 29,
it just seems so wrong that basically the selection committee a few years ago, whenever the net was created, was like, all right, we're going to focus in on this statistic. Like, whenever there's kind of like, we're on the fence between a couple of things, we'll come back to the net ranking. And this year they had the net ranking and they were just like, ah, no, we'll throw that to the side. No, they didn't win.
Yeah. So with that, they created a statistic for these things and then they decided not to use it in multiple different situations. It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. But again, ISU being 1-4 against tournament teams, and then, I mean, MSU losing to Michigan State and Alabama early in the season, obviously that's not going to be the true type of team you're at early in the year. But, you know, towards the end of the year, when you have to beat Drake in the championship going down by 20 points, you just can't do that.
Yep. Yeah, it really.
That ultimately.
Yeah, they had a dud right at the end of the season, and Drake's a good team. We'll talk about Drake in a little bit because I do like Drake. I loved both those teams. So,
I agree.
Anything else, snubs, winners from that portion, or do we want to jump into the teams that actually did make the tournament?
I want to highlight some teams that, you know, that got in that probably didn't deserve it, and I know I already kind of talked about Dayton and a little bit about Michigan State, but Virginia and Northwestern are two other teams that I just don't know if they fully deserve to be in. You know, Northwestern is probably on the higher end out of the other, you know, three or four teams. But Virginia, you know, you could tell they kind of didn't think they were going to get into the tournament.
Oh, they showed them. Yeah.
Yeah. They completely shocked. Their coaches are jumping around. Like that to me just tells me they went in being like, well, we had a bad end of the season. We're probably not getting in.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. I'm a basketball sicko in this way. I actually like Tony Bennett basketball. I know most people hate it. And I know it doesn't make sense because I am in the camp that I love Nate Oates basketball, which is just run and gun, shoot threes, play as fast as you possibly can, only shoot threes or layups, that kind of thing. And then I'm also in the camp that I like watching Tony Bennett basketball. I think I just like watching smart coaches. I would identify them both as smart coaches. They do it very differently, obviously. I didn't expect them to see in the tournament. It really seemed like when all those bubbles were bursting earlier this weekend, it was like, oh, I bet Virginia will be one of them that has burst. And now they'll be playing in a standalone game this week in Dayton. So,
and they're gonna get beat. And I mean, they played so badly towards the end of this year. I mean, being up by 3 points against NC State and choosing not to foul in a foul situation is very, you know, I do love Tony Bennett. You know, he ripped my heart out a couple years ago. But I do think he's a good coach. But in that situation, I always think you should foul.
Yep, totally agree. I'm in the opposite camp of, like, everyone hates that Virginia got in right now. So for some reason, that just tells me they're going to end up in the Sweet 16. But we'll get to
That's how it always goes. Right?
I could totally see it going either way of, like, how the heck did they get into the tournament? They never should be here. And then boom, they're in the Sweet 16. Or everyone's vindicated and they get blown out by 30 and we never talk about them again, except the fact that, you know, Indiana State, Pitt, one of these other teams should have been in ahead of them.
Right. I agree.
All right. Good with moving into the bracket?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So I'll start in the top left. We're in the East region. We have our top seed, number one overall. It is the UConn Huskies. They won last year. They are now back, and somehow they basically lost their top three players from last year. And now I watch them, and I think you guys are maybe just as good, practically better than you were last year, and they were dominant last year. The two seed in that region, we have Iowa State. Three seed, we have Illinois. Four, we have Auburn. The rest on the way, all the way out. But any thoughts from this region, this bracket, when you were first looking at it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it right away, you can see you've got four conference winners that are all the way up and down the bracket with UConn, Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State. And typically those teams don't do very well in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure exactly why, but I don't know if it's fatigue or whatever it is. But typically they don't do very well. So the fact that they're all in the same bracket, that might help some of them towards the end, because they've all had the same amount of games. But I mean, it's UConn's bracket to lose. I think Auburn gives, you know, the second best chance to win, especially over the last, I think, you know, 30 years. If you have a top 20 offensive and defensive efficiency team in KenPom, you know, those teams win the tournament. And UConn and Auburn are two of those teams.
Yeah. It's funny you bring up KenPom, because I looked at this and very first thing I noticed actually was the top four seeds, the ones I listed, UConn, Iowa State, Illinois, Auburn, all four of those are in the top 10 of KenPom. It is. Yeah. I think it's such a hard bracket. You get three of the four of them in this bracket are last year's Final Four teams. You've got FAU, San Diego State, and UConn in there. Very intriguing. San Diego State still, like, they bring back a pretty solid team, very good defensively. They're top 10 defensively in KenPom right now. And then, like you had mentioned, I had written down the exact same thing, is that you get a lot of conference champions in here. So Yale won their conference tournament. Duquesne won their conference tournament. Illinois, Auburn, and UConn rounded it out. Illinois, Auburn, UConn, a little bit, I guess, more expected, you could say. Yale had to come back. Right. We're down by Brown. And Duquesne was kind of bad to a little bit above average all year and then got hot. Now they're in, and now they're playing for a coach that's retiring because he just announced that today. But like you, I'm also in the boat where I historically do not trust conference champions. I just feel like they kind of go with the, when you're in that conference tournament, the coaches are just like, you know, one day at a time, like you're playing at 8 p.m. one day and you could be playing at 4 p.m. the next. And it's kind of just like, roll the ball out there, go. There's not as much coaching with it. It's just like, hey, we've got some talent. Like, let's go see what we can do. And now you run into, you got 4 days to game plan, and you've just put out plenty of tape of how you're playing right now. So that can kind of go against you. But like you said, you're also in the same boat as you've got all of these conference champions in together. So like, are they all going to fail? It'll be interesting to see.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering, what do you think about Duquesne getting the 11 seed? You know, it kind of feels
interesting. Wrong. I was surprised that Duquesne at 11, and then you've got James Madison. We'll get to them eventually, but they're 12. They're one of only four teams that won 30 games this year is James Madison. They ended up at the 12. It kind of seemed like everyone went in and they were like, well, Dayton's probably going to win this. So like whenever Dayton wins, we'll throw them at the 11. And then Duquesne won. They're like, oh crap. Like, I guess we got to put Duquesne at this 11 and figure out where Dayton will slot in. And it was kind of funny. Like the selection show, Dayton was like one of the very last ones in. And it's almost like, you know, you're like filling out a poster board if you're doing a school project and you start at the top with your title and you've got like a really big letter, you don't pencil it out. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, shoot, like I still have four more words and only this much space. And that's how it felt like with Dayton, of just like, oh, crap, they're supposed to be in and I don't know where to put them. So suddenly they just like threw them at the seven seed at the end. And you're like, that's too high. Like
this and just throw a dart.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, I guess we'll put them in the bottom left. But yeah, that was intriguing to see. I think, if I remember correctly, all the 11 seeds are just like teams that you would not really expect to have deserved them. Yeah, they were just, and that it feels wrong. You could have put them lower than that, but
I agree. Yeah. I think it was very, this year seemed very lazy by the committee in a lot of ways. You know, Duquesne being one of them, New Mexico being the same seed. I mean, and you just have all these teams that have better resumes like James Madison, which we'll talk about later, but like that, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And like you said, it was kind of like lazy work towards the end. They're like, well, we don't have anywhere else to put them. We got to put them here.
Yeah. I've always kind of had this thought that like whenever I'm watching the Big Ten tournament final, since it's 20 minutes before they release the bracket, like I've always had the thought that basically this game means absolutely nothing other than the fact that you get a trophy and you get to say that you're Big Ten tournament champions. I don't think it affects your seeding or your bracket at all, because there's no way they're in there just like, oh, like, you know, Illinois ended up winning that. We didn't expect that. And now they're shifting around the whole bracket. Like, I think it's pretty much set at this point. And I think that also... Go ahead.
Apparently, it only hurts Purdue because they were slated as the top one seed going in, and they dropped to 3 off of a game against Wisconsin.
But can you be mad because you're an Indy?
No, I can't be mad. I mean, yeah.
Because I had the same thought. I was very surprised that UConn and Houston came up first during the show, because I was like, wow, they're the top two. I thought it was between UConn and Purdue, especially after Houston got blown out in the Big 12 championship. But yeah, I was surprised to see it, but I also was like, you're ending up in Indy, so I don't think I can be that mad.
Right. No, I agree. Out of these games in this bracket, which one do you think is the most interesting?
Yeah, so I have FAU versus Northwestern down as my best opening round game. It doesn't seem like I'm going out on an edge here, because it's an 8 versus 9 seed, so they're historically like very evenly matched. But I'm just intrigued by last year's Final Four team in FAU. I also love Dusty May as a coach because he's a Hoosier, and so if he could come coach IU, that'd be great. But just I'm intrigued by the FAU team in general, because they bring back everyone from that Final Four run, and then it seems like this year all they've done is kind of fall short to expectations, and they've kind of just been like, eh, like once the tournament comes, we'll be fine. Like we don't care about the conference play. We don't care about winning our tournament. We just want, like, just put us in, let's see what can happen. And I think it's a very intriguing matchup, just because you're going up against Boo Booey, who's just so good, and guards dominate March. And it kind of feels like maybe FAU should have been trying a little bit harder earlier in the season, because now they're stuck on that 8-9 line. And even if you win that first game, congratulations, I mean, 99.5% of the time, you're getting UConn, the one seed. So.
Right. Yeah. And with Ty Berry being out, that's really going to be difficult for Northwestern. And the same with Nicholson, their main threat inside. I would expect kind of Florida Atlantic to probably try to get the ball inside a little bit, and then kind of have Northwestern collapse and kick it open for threes. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying, with that being kind of the highlight of that bracket for that first round.
You had that as the same game that you were highlighting?
Yeah, and in this bracket, overall, I've got a couple other games that I'm really interested in, but my first one listed for best opening round game had to be FAU Northwestern.
Love that. Yep. I'll throw the question right back at you, though, then. Who do you have in this bracket as, like, someone that could make a surprise run? So those 1-4, you kind of expect to do relatively well. You expect to see him in the Sweet 16. You know, anything could happen because it's March. But what are one of those teams that you're kind of looking at in this bracket that could look up and see him in the Sweet 16 and be like, oh, wait, didn't see you making the second weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to go to the experience with San Diego State. I know that's not really like one of those crazy predictions just because they did it last year, but they've been here before. They've got a lot of their same players from last year. Ladie is leading the way again for them. I mean, if they get by UAB, you know, they have Jacqueline Hyde and Auburn. You never know what you're going to get, but here recently Auburn's been really hot. But if they don't come out that same fire with San Diego State's defensive prowess, they could really put it on them really quickly. So they could make it, you know, to the Sweet 16 to face UConn. And then, you know, you never know from there.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. That was not the team I listed, but I did think about, like, I don't know, it's just the experience in March is so critical, and they've definitely got it. The one team that I had listed as a surprise run candidate, I had mentioned them earlier when talking about Indiana State, but yeah. I really like this Drake team. I watched Drake Indiana State in that final, and it was just such a good game. Know how to play offense. If you go back to last year, Drake was actually up at halftime against Miami in their opening round game. They were a 12 playing the 5 Miami, and up at half, but then ultimately didn't win that game, and Miami went on to the Final Four. You've got Tucker DeVries back. The kid's a walking bucket. Just the white guys are going to have a great tournament, I feel like, in this tournament. They're just,
oh yeah,
kids can freaking shoot, and it's really on display this year, so that's cool. but yeah, Tucker can really, really shoot. I'm excited to see what they can do. I think ultimately we could look up and see that they're in the Sweet 16 and be like, how did we not see this coming? Because sometimes those offensive teams can get hot in March, and that's my pick.
Right. No, I think that's a great pick, and they've got a great game. Like, the other game that I would have highlighted would have been Drake Washington State, just with the way Washington State's played this year, and obviously Drake being as hot as they were at the end of the year. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a first round matchup.
Yep, totally agree. Want to move to West Region?
Yeah,
let's move right down. We have, again, I'll highlight the top four seeds. So we have North Carolina is the number one seed in this region. Arizona down at the bottom of the bracket. The 3 seed is Baylor, and the 4 is Alabama. Jake, initial thoughts on the West region?
It's a very weak bracket overall. I think probably out of the 4, this is the weakest one. Also, the weakest 1 seed, I think, that we have in the tournament.
Yep.
I don't trust North Carolina. I know that, you know, they were in the national championship 2 years ago. They didn't make the tournament last year. It's just, again, it's like Auburn, hot and cold. If they're not having a good night offensively, their defense kind of just gives up. They'll give up a lot of points. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat with this entire region, honestly. I just look at them and I'm like, every single one of you, if you were playing your best basketball, you look completely unbeatable. And also every single one of you, if I see that you're down by like 10 points in the first half, I am absolutely not going like, oh, you're probably going to come back. Like, I think you're probably going to give up and you're just going to pack it into the next game. And you can't do that in March. I also very quickly realized I don't really expect this bracket to go any way, like by seeding. I don't expect it to be chalk, but I was very excited by the idea that if it does, we have 1 seed and the 2 seed all the way into the Elite Eight. We would have the RJ Davis Caleb Love showdown Obviously, Caleb Love was with UNC last year and went on that great run with them back in, was that 2 years ago now? And
yeah,
took him to the championship game, hit the great shot against Duke to win in the Final Four. Just a cold-blooded killer. And then we saw them last year, and it seemed like RJ and Caleb Love couldn't play together. And now they're separate and kind of thriving, also kind of in that like hot and cold. But if it does end up going chalk, I mean, that's just get your popcorn ready, enjoy that kind of game.
Yeah, you couldn't write up a better script, I think, having, you know, those two teams in the same bracket. And I think, honestly, we'll see that in another bracket as well. You know, if you listen to some other podcasts, they've talked about it quite a bit, but there's one bracket that you kind of look at and you're like, that's interesting how all four of those teams are right there. But Arizona, North Carolina, Pac-12 Player of the Year, and Caleb Love, that would be just a heck of an ending for that bracket.
Yep. I think I hear that a fellow AWL on the other line.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of
yes,
course.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Thoughts on maybe a best game in this region?
So the best game in this region kind of, I know it, you know, the 8-9 seed again with Mississippi State and Michigan State is a game I kind of looked at, but you know, I really think that Dayton and Nevada could be a good game. Again, I don't think Dayton should have been in the tournament. Nevada being, you know, Mountain West, you never know kind of what you're going to get with those teams. I think it could be a game that's super high scoring, or, you know, no one can make a shot and it's 45-45 with a minute left in the game.
Yep. Could totally see it going either way.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What's your game to watch for this first round?
I ultimately went Alabama, Charleston, and strictly because they play. I'm not going to like lie and tell you that I've watched 30 games of Charleston basketball this year, but I quickly looked stuff up and I saw that they score a ton of points. They play super fast. Mm-hmm. And if you think about Alabama, they score a ton of points and they play super fast. And it feels like they're kind of just looking at each other in the mirror, seeing, you know, who can ultimately first to 100 kind of thing. And I often feel like in the first round of March Madness, you'll see like, oh my gosh, how did this game end up being, you know, 47-42? I think this game will be the exact opposite in that it'll be 47-42 and you're like, wait, there's still 6 minutes left in the first half. Like, it'll be one of those of just run and gun up the court. Ultimately, I do expect Alabama to get through. I think that just athleticism will kind of wear them down, but that's a game I'm looking towards of just like, all right, let's bet the over and let's just enjoy watching them chuck threes.
Yeah, two teams with point guards that kind of dominate both their teams. I mean, that'll be a fun one to watch. One thing I was kind of looking at with this bracket is, how did Clemson get a 6 seed?
I also was kind of wondering that. I don't know. They're confusing. I actually did write them down as my surprise run candidate, and it was not originally what I wanted to pick. And this bracket, right. I originally was like, okay, I see them as a 6. I think New Mexico is probably better than them. So I had New Mexico as my surprise run candidate. And then I watched the CBS selection show, and Jay Wright is up there, and he's part of the booth, but also like during that show, he is not a prominent figure. He's just kind of like there, and every once in a while they're like, Jay, what do you think? He's like pretty reserved with what he wants to say about teams. But like for some reason on this one, he was just like, I really like Clemson. Like, I see Clemson going to the Sweet 16. I think they rebound really well. And I was like, why is Jay Wright like standing on a pedestal for Clemson right now? I wouldn't have wanted to do that. But strictly because he did that and because he's a legend of a coach and he knows what he's talking about when it becomes this time of year, I decided that Clemson was my surprise run candidate for this bracket. And it never was going to be what I thought I was going to pick.
No, I mean, I could totally see that just because the length of Clemson causes a lot of problems for teams. I mean, some of these teams, like, you know, New Mexico probably hasn't seen the length that they have from 1 to 5, you know, at all positions. You just don't find that everywhere besides, you know, when you're in the ACC or the SEC. Not even the Big Ten really has guards like that.
No.
But yeah, Clemson's definitely a long team. They rebound well, but the problem is they've got to get their offense going early, or New Mexico and is it Eddie House or is that his dad?
I think that's right. Yes.
Yeah. He can put up, 30 on them really quickly if they're, not taking away fast break points from New Mexico.
Yep. Totally agree. Do you have thoughts on a surprise run candidate in this bracket?
I did not have a surprise run on this side of the bracket, honestly. But if I'm kind of looking at it right now, I mean, that New Mexico Clemson game, I think, is really going to determine which team
who could be the surprise run.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally agree. The very last note I had was just, I think we just did it because we just went through this entire region and haven't talked about them once. And I think that's happening elsewhere too. But I just want to mention their name so that I can say, like, I was ahead of the game.
I talked about them.
St. Mary's, I just feel like they should be mentioned. They had their conference tournament that's always like the week before. So people mm-hmm. forget about them. They watch conference champ week. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, St. Mary's and Gonzaga, they're in again. St. Mary's is just annoying to play. They're just super efficient. They don't make mistakes. It's just one of those teams that, like, if you do ultimately beat them in the first round, you feel accomplished, but people will look from the outside and just be like, eh, whatever, like, it's St. Mary's. But it's right. a good team, solid team, so just want to mention them before we move on. Now I got it out there.
Well, I mean, still sticking on the St. Mary's, how did they get a 5 seed and Gonzaga got a 5 seed?
Who knows? Also very confusing.
Yeah, I don't get that. And I know you're very familiar with St. Mary's basketball after they beat IU two.
Absolutely destroyed us a couple years ago. So maybe I'm bringing that up for an ulterior motive, but that's fine. Don't look past them, because sometimes they will surprise you and you will get blown out. And 2 years later, you'll want your coach fired. All right, moving on. South region. We have 4 seeds here. Number one is Houston, who's the second overall seed, one of 4 teams with 30 wins in this bracket. Marquette is their 2 seed. Kentucky's the 3. Duke is the 4. I've been passing it to you every time, so I'll just go this time with my opening thoughts. You can go off of this. I took the top 4 seeds as 3 of them are just kind of like historically hateable. Of just like, I feel like people wanted to hate on Houston because they weren't in a real conference and no one ever actually trusted them. Seems easy to hate on. And then you've got Duke and Kentucky, of just like, those obviously are blue bloods that you just love to hate. Duke just makes themselves so hateable. And growing up as an Indiana fan, Kentucky does the same thing. So 3 hateable teams. Then you have Marquette, who I would like to say are also not hateable. I think they're the least hateable, but also you've got the Shaka Smart factor of like, this dude is on the court practically playing defense 6-on-5. And I guess that kind of makes them hateable. But when you compare them to the other 3, it's just like, wow, you're the best. You're the golden child.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And, looking at this bracket, it could be the bracket of upsets. It could also be a bracket where it could just be straight, chalk, just depending on what Kentucky team shows up, what Marquette team shows up, and what teams are healthy. Wisconsin, Klezmet having an injured groin. You've got Florida, who just lost their starting center. Marquette getting Kolick back for the tournament. You don't know what he's going to look like. So it'll be a very interesting bracket. I'm really excited to look for the Wisconsin-James Madison game, as well as Duke-Vermont.
This is what we foreshadowed. But yeah, if for people who don't know the Pardon My Take podcast, it's known pretty well, kind of like the number one sports podcast in the world. They have essentially like 4 main guys on there, and ever so conveniently, all 4 of them happen to be in this same little quad of Wisconsin. Big Cat was a Wisconsin grad, and you get PFT, who was a James Madison grad. Then Hank, who wasn't a Duke grad, but is hateable, so he likes to root for Duke. And then Jake Marsh, who was not a Vermont grad, but he went to Syracuse and then worked for Vermont for 2 years. And you've got Duke versus Vermont as the 4-13 and Wisconsin versus JMU 5-12. Very interesting how that happened to happen there.
Yeah, I think somebody had that in the back of their mind. They knew exactly what they were doing. Especially, I think, you know, Vermont will give Duke trouble. You know, they can score the basketball, and Duke doesn't always defend super well. They gave up 80 points to NC State the other night. And then Wisconsin, I dislike Wisconsin so much. I hope they lose in the first round. Even though I typically like Big Ten teams to do well, I would not mind if they lost first round, especially after this last Saturday.
That's very fair. After, I mean, we'll get to the next region. We're saving the, I guess, the best for last, worst for last, in my opinion. But, it'll be interesting. I had a question for you though.
Yeah.
Should we haven't mentioned the number one seed yet that much? Should I care that Houston got absolutely destroyed in the Big 12 championship, or is it still they're one of the top three teams and that was last week? Who cares?
I think you should just, you know, throw that game completely out. You know, Houston overall has been a good team the whole year. They get punched in the mouth one game, all of a sudden they might wake up then, you know, in the next couple of weeks and you could see them return to form. I don't think, you know, one outlier, you know, kind of will represent the rest of Houston's season. I hope it doesn't foreshadow what's to come, because, you know, I do like that Houston team, especially Jamal Shedd. He, you know, he's an awesome player, both offensively, defensively, and they're fun to watch. So I hope they can make it, you know, at least to the Elite Eight. But, you know, if they do have a game where they're kind of slacking a little bit, I think they won't have any trouble really until possibly if Duke even gets that far. I think that's the first competition that they'll really struggle with, because I don't think Nebraska can hang with them defensively, and Texas A&M can score the ball plenty, but can they against an elite defense like Houston?
Yep. I am glad you said that, because I have been leaning towards Houston, but I just have that thought in the back of my mind of like, how does a team that I am considering picking as my ultimate winner lose by almost 30 and in their most recent game? So glad you said that. I shouldn't worry. Also wanted to bring up Kentucky. You had kind of mentioned Kentucky of just another hot and cold team. I love Kentucky. I hate to say that because it physically hurts me.
Oh, that's
like
tough.
Purdue and Kentucky are my two biggest rivals in college basketball. And it honestly flip-flops day to day of like who I hate more. And I just can't get myself to hate this Kentucky team this year, because something about them, they're just so fun to watch. I've watched horrible Indiana basketball all year that is the opposite of fun to watch. And they are so fun. I also have just a random anecdote. There's a kid that most people are not going to know on Kentucky. He plays 20 minutes a game. His name's Adu Thiero. I think he's number 3 on their team. And when I lived in Pittsburgh, he grew up in the Pittsburgh area. So he was playing high school basketball in Pittsburgh. Super late blooming kid that just like basically came on in the last 6 months of the recruiting cycle and all of a sudden just like started compiling offers. One of them was from Indiana. And so he went to a high school like 15 minutes from where I was living. And so he was going through Pennsylvania's versions of sectionals. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go watch this kid play. Like, I'm going to deck myself out in IU gear. He's going to know that, like, and IU people they're paying attention to him. And so I get there like super late. We grew up with Indiana high school basketball. So we are used to like, you know, the gyms are like thousands of people. Like there are high school gyms that are much larger than Division I college gyms in the state of Indiana. And so I went to this, you know, the game started at 7. I was like, whatever, it's a playoff game. It's the very first round. Like I can get there at 7. It'll be perfectly fine. So show up right on time. It is completely like packed. But then I realize they're playing in essentially like the B gym at Yorktown Middle School. Like,
oh no,
it has essentially like 4 rows of seating on either side. So like it feels packed, but there's probably like 300 people there. Like it's not packed. But I got there late, so I ultimately don't find a seat. And so I just stand right at the doorway, and I'm like decked out in IU gear, have an Indiana basketball hat, very plain, and I'm just like watching this game. And I didn't know this until I moved to Pittsburgh, but there is a college in Pittsburgh, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. So there is another one just outside of it. And so I am in my Indiana basketball gear and watched the whole game. And it was actually at halftime. So I quickly realized like, oh, this is Adu Thiero's dad over sitting like front row. Like he was definitely like a, you know, the stereotypical high school basketball dad. He's yelling from the side. Like he's a part-time coach, even though he doesn't coach, kind of thing. And so at halftime he comes up and he's like, so glad that you came to see my son's game. I was like, who are you? Like, I congrats. Like, yeah, this is fun. He's like, I'm so glad that he got that IUP offer. Like maybe he could end up staying home and playing close to home, all this kind of stuff. I eventually realized this man thinks I am an Indiana University of Pennsylvania basketball scout. Like he thinks I'm a member of the team. And so I kind of had to, you know, 2 things that I could have done. I could have said like, yeah, we're super excited for him. Like, let me make sure that he comes talk to me after the game. Like I could have done that
for sure.
I was too nice of a guy. Probably. I ultimately went with like, I'm not a scout. I just love IU basketball, and not even the IU basketball you're talking about. I'm talking about the one 2 states away. And I just felt too bad for this. Like he's 17 years old at this point. Like I felt too bad to be like, yeah, like your son's really, really impressive. We're, you know, all of our staff are just we're so excited to see him. Yeah, yeah. And then I'm talking to his dad that's just like, you know, please God, let me pay for my son to get through college, like offer him a scholarship kind of thing. Ultimately felt too bad. But I have always had this connection. Even when he went to Kentucky, like I said, one of the biggest rivals, I've had this connection to Adu Thiero, and he's super athletic. He plays 20 minutes a game, only scores like 7 points a game. But again, I should hate Kentucky, but I like Kentucky. And sorry, that was a long anecdote, but
no. Yeah. I mean, that team is just really impressive offensively. I mean, you know, Coach Cal has always been known for defense. That has completely been thrown out the window this year. They want to score 100 points, and they don't care how many points they give up as long as they have more at the end of the game. Yep. Which, you know, it does typically end up being a good thing in the tournament when you have a high scoring team, because they're used to those lulls in offense sometimes, but they can still get it going. Whereas some teams who struggle to score, they will never find the bottom of the bucket.
Yep.
So that's one thing I'm really looking forward to in this bracket.
Yep. Totally agree. Have we touched on, I guess we still have best game to watch and surprise run candidate. You could pick either one here if you want to for this region.
So my surprise run in this side is Florida.
Okay.
I do think that's a good team.
You think they rally together after that guy snapped his ankle?
I do. I think, you know, they're good defensively. You know, there's been games obviously where they've struggled offensively, but if they're able to, you know, work as a unit and, you know, be able to beat, you know, some of the teams that they beat earlier, like Kentucky or, you know, like some of these high caliber teams just with their defense, they could go a long way, especially if they beat, you know, I think it's going to be Colorado who they'll end up playing. They beat Colorado and they face Marquette. There's a good chance that they could win that game, especially with Tyler Kolek not being at 100%.
Yep. So, yeah, and it's a little bit of a streaky Marquette team. Yeah, I could see it.
Right. Yeah, and they could easily be facing Kentucky, or actually I think it'll probably be Kentucky in the Sweet 16. So it'll be Florida versus Kentucky in SEC matchup.
Yep. Yeah. And one we've seen before.
Surprise
run candidate. I actually hate it now that I see it written down on paper, because I don't actually think it's going to happen. But I think I have to mention DJ Burns, because he just kind of like, you know, won the heart of the nation last year, or not the last week with the conference championship week. Again, this is with NC State. Ultimately, I probably think like, yeah, that was a great week for them, but it's not going to be a great season. But there's just something about it, you know, a 280-pound dude just throwing his body around that also has like touch around the rim, can pass pretty well. If they can continue what they showed last week, maybe they can be a surprise run candidate. I don't know if that will actually happen, but I put them down as that. And then
the next UConn, you think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. The next 11 seed to make it to the championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be crazy.
Kemba Walker and DJ Burns, they just have so much in common. So yeah, that would make total sense. then best game to watch that I had written down. This may not be because of what actually happens on the court, but I'm very intrigued of what is happening off the court with Nebraska and Texas A&M, of Nebraska's AD just literally in the last 2 weeks, I think it is, took the Texas A&M AD job. And now not only on the men's side of the bracket, but also on the women's side of the bracket. Don't know if you saw that. Nebraska is playing Texas A&M. And that is just so intriguing of just like, I think he tweeted like, oh, how ironic, like, good luck to both teams, but he had to have just been rooting for anything else.
He probably was like, you've got to be kidding me that I just left this school, they're going to come out, and if they beat us, it's not going to look very good.
Oh, yeah, his mentions are going to be blowing up, he's not going to hear the end of it. But
no,
but I really don't know if that's going to be exciting, actually, on the basketball court. It is an 8-9 seed, so could be a close game, you never know, but I just thought the off the court part of that made it an exciting game to watch.
One person I think that could capture the hearts of America is Tominaga.
Yeah, yep. I knew you were going to say it. Yep.
Oh yeah, I mean he's electric. I love watching him play.
Yes, he can just fill up the bucket. Like, he is so good. He is so, I mean, it's fully stereotyping, but he's just so unlike any other like guy of Asian heritage that you see playing basketball, but he's expressive. I mean, it's a good thing. Like, it's fun to watch him play. And yeah, I could totally see him being on, you know, he hits some three and has a sick celebration and he's going to end up on One Shining Moment or whatever.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that game, but I think the one game that, you know, like you talked about, it's not really as much on the basketball court as it is off. Wisconsin versus James Madison. I will 100% be tuning into the Barstool live stream and seeing Big Cat's reaction while PFT's at the game.
Yep. And apparently, I haven't finished today's, but I guess he like is going to be there in a full tuxedo, yep. I guess, because he's coming from the wedding. So
from a wedding. Yeah,
that will be intriguing. But yeah, should be good. I'm intrigued by that one.
Oh, yeah.
Midwest bracket. Are you ready for it?
As ready as I can be.
All right. The one seed, your alma mater, the Purdue Boilermakers. The two seed in this region is Tennessee. Three is Creighton. Four is Kansas. I will very quickly touch on Purdue. I feel like they have to love this draw. I feel like if it's not the North Carolina bracket, then this is easiest or second easiest bracket for them to be in, and also just have to get my shot in there that they wouldn't see St. Peter's until the Elite Eight. So that is huge for them.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I will now open the floor to you, because as much as I think I know about Purdue basketball, you know more. So go.
Yeah. This year's Purdue team, I think, is obviously a lot different from the last couple of years that we've seen. We've got, you know, Braden Smith, who's been, you know, more comfortable this year. He's been able to make big time shots. He's, you know, one of the better point guards in the country this year, which is, you know, something we didn't necessarily have last year. And the year before that, having Jaden Ivey, who is predominantly a scorer instead of a passer like Braden Smith is, I think that's a good wrinkle. What we really need is Fletcher Lawyer, Lance Jones to step up when, you know, they need them to. Fletcher Lawyer kind of disappeared in the Big Ten tournament. But, you know, I'm looking for him to come back a little bit. You know, and I'd love to see Miles Colvin get some more time, especially, you know, in this 1-16 game, get his confidence under him. He's a heck of an athlete. I mean, yep. I really think Purdue has a great shot of making it at least to the Elite Eight, if not to the Final Four and championship. But I think the bracket sets up nice for at least the Elite Eight, and knock on wood, because I know every year it's the same story. Last year, we only had to beat Fairleigh Dickinson, and we had the easiest run to the Final Four we could possibly have imagined.
And yep. Yep. I'm in the same boat as you. Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, I kind of like watching Kentucky this year. I'm also in the same boat as much as I hate them. God, is Purdue good to watch. Like,
yeah,
just fundamental. Don't make mistakes. Zach Edey's most people think he's annoying. I don't hate him as much as I probably should. And that's pretty much strictly because, like, Trace Jackson Davis last year, they seem to be like buddy buddy. And I'm like, all right, if Trace likes you, then I have to like you. But I think ultimately the differences in this team will be the guard play. You get another year of Braden Smith. He looks a lot better than he did last year. It seems like he's had enough experience where he can get sped up this year and still calm himself back down. And then I think at the very beginning of this pod, we talked about Lance Jones and how much of an impact he's going to have. Just like he's the X factor. I think I really feel like if Braden suddenly is like, oh shoot, the spotlight's too bright, throw the ball to him there. Now I'm forgetting which game it is. It was probably like viral on Purdue social media, so maybe you remember for me, but there was one time where they were getting pressed. They threw it to Jones and he like went through the legs, spun and got out of it like in an instant. And I was just like, that makes Purdue different. Literally just seeing that one time where I thought maybe they were going to turn it over or get a 10-second violation in the backcourt, he was able to immediately break a press. And I'm like, crap. Like if Purdue gets to the other end of the floor and they're able to throw it into Edey, because Edey can get whatever position he wants on the court, they're going to be hard to beat. And as an IU fan, I just have to come back to, like, at the end of the day, I have thought this in years past, and it is Purdue in March. So we shall see.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Why is everyone hating on Zach Edey so much this year? He doesn't talk. He doesn't do anything. He just plays basketball.
Well, if you want the truthful answer, everyone will say he's a foul merchant. And I think it's one of the hardest jobs to possibly do is officiate that guy correctly. And the Big Ten officials are already kind of idiotic, and they struggle to officiate if it was probably fifth grade basketball players. But you throw in a 7'4" guy that, like, is he throwing an elbow, or actually is his elbow just like at other players' head because, like, he's that much taller than people? Who knows? When you get Purdue, or when you get Big Ten officials that have to decide that, it's going to be impossible. So that's why he's hateable. It's just like, I swear we didn't foul him. Actually, the Big Ten tournament one where he just ran down the key and completely destroyed Wall, and then the foul was called on Wall. That's why people hate him, in case you were actually wondering.
That one was obviously a tough one. I think of all things, they probably should have just let it be a play on, because it didn't even look like he ran into him that hard and Wall just kind of fell.
Yes.
But, you know, if you go from last year to this year, my biggest complaint was the refs are literally not calling fouls for Edey because people are jumping on his back. This year, they're calling everything, and I'm okay with that. He's a National Player of the Year. I mean, and he's going to win it again this year. Like, you hate to say that, you know, that does happen every now and then, but, you know, for the difference between last year and this year, I think it was warranted, especially, you know, he'd come out of every game with scratches on his arms. You know, yep. He'd have bloody face, everything. And, you know, all you have is Purdue fans complaining. This year, there's not really many Purdue fans complaining about, you know, referees.
No, you're not going to be complaining about officials this year. Yeah. You've definitely had it good. So,
except again, the last play, second to last offensive possession that Purdue had, where Chucky Hepburn is literally smacking Braden Smith's arms all the way up the court, and then Braden Smith crosses or goes behind his back and then puts his arm out. Yeah, does he shove off? Probably. But he got fouled four times before that, and they don't call it, and then they call that.
That was just one of those things. Yep, I was waiting for it. Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Of course.
I have to mention, Purdue-wise, we're talking Purdue and officials. If we're talking things that could ultimately stop Purdue, it's probably just one official that doesn't like Zach Edey, and suddenly he has three fouls in the first like 4 minutes, and Purdue's like, right. Crap, how do we run our offense? Because the entire year we've run it through Edey, and now we have to run it through what, Trey Kaufman ran? Like, yeah. Sorry, he's not the same. He's just not the same.
It gets too congested when Edey's off the floor. They can't really do much, and they're all just kind of like, Caleb first comes up, tries to set the same ball screen, but then can't get to the rim the same way. It's just, it doesn't look right.
Yep. Any other Purdue thoughts before I've got a great transition here.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. We're talking teams that suck in March. Let's move to the bottom of the bracket with Tennessee. Rick Barnes, can they turn it around this year? What do you think about Tennessee?
You know, I think Tennessee has a good chance this year of turning it around. Do I think they will get past Texas? I don't know. I think ultimately Texas does come out of that Colorado State versus Texas game, because I think Virginia will lose. But I think Tennessee, if Kinect is able to, you know, play his game, there's a chance that they could get by them. But Texas has a lot of very good offensive players that we just haven't heard of at all this year. You know, like last year, they were great players, and, you know, they came into their own at the end. But this year, everyone's just been silent. Hunter, transfer from Iowa State. Actually, their whole team is just transfers, basically. Max Osmus. It's a tough Texas team. And that, if they get through that game, I think they've got a solid chance at going further. Yeah. What about you? Yeah. What do you think?
I love Tennessee this year. On the football side of things, I'm very annoyed by Tennessee. I have 2019 bowl, just bad memories. We were up, IU was up against Tennessee and then just completely choked. So I was on the IU side, but ended up somehow being sat right next to Tennessee fans. They were super annoying, just getting me, they were like, oh, by the end of the night, Rocky Top's going to be your favorite song. And I was like, there is not a chance that that's my favorite song. Like, I'm going to have nightmares of this, which I do. But somehow, again, the struggle of this college basketball season for me is Indiana basketball was horrible. And all the teams that I'm supposed to hate, Tennessee, Kentucky, Purdue, are all sick, and I kind of like watching them, which is a bummer. But yeah, you mentioned Dalton Kinect. I love watching him play basketball. He's one of those just guys that I think, like, he could have a moment in the tournament where you're just like, did you see what Dalton Kinect did? Not what Tennessee did, not how Rick Barnes drew up a great play. Did you see what Dalton Kinect did? And like, he could have his Jimmer Fredette moment of 2011 and 2024 and just kind of taking over a game. I hope to see that, because he's super fun to watch. And if he could just like put 40 on a team, that would be awesome. But again, I run into the same situation kind of with this whole bracket of just like, I don't know, like, you have the talent to make it to the Final Four. Do I think you will actually do it? Don't know.
Right. No, I completely agree. And, you know, for them to get to the Final Four, to, you know, the Elite Eight, they'll have to run through probably Creighton as well.
Yep.
You know, and Creighton is just one of those teams that has Bailey Shireman. I mean, yep. He's just an incredible player as well. And like you talked about, you know, those two guys can light up the scoreboard from basically anywhere on the court.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree. Cockburner is really good down low for Creighton. Mm-hmm. It just seems like I actually, in my first run of going through a bracket, I have Creighton playing Purdue Elite Eight. And I really just, I think it might end up being Creighton just because, you know, maybe Purdue doesn't even make it there. That. But, okay. Yeah, probably going to end up doing that. But, but yeah, Cockburner was part of my reasoning of just like, maybe he can match up. Maybe he's enough of a problem of, okay, they're both big guys. Zach Edey's just can't move on defense. Cockburner really can't move on defense, but he's a little bit better. He can move a little bit more. And so maybe that gives them the edge and maybe they just light it up. We'll see.
Yeah, he just, you know, he's like 180 pounds at 6'10". I mean, he's probably weighs more than that. But I mean, Zach Edey's 300 pounds at 7'4". That's a big weight difference that I don't even think Cockburner can hang with that.
This is fair. Yeah. All right. Best game in this bracket?
Best game, McNeese Gonzaga.
I have the exact same one. Tell me why.
So McNeese, you know, with Will Wade as a coach now for them coming over from LSU after everything that happened with him over there. You know, I think that team is just very disciplined. They're very good offensively, and they can, you know, put up points with the best of them against a Gonzaga team who's the most vulnerable Gonzaga team I think we've seen in years under Mark Few. I just don't think the Zags have enough this year to make a run, and I think McNeese can get him in the first round, but that might be a very common 12-5 pick. So that's where I'm, you know, I don't like to pick the trendy 12-5 upsets.
Yep. Yeah. I feel you there. The things I wrote down when I was kind of thinking about this game, Will Wade also came to my mind, but it came to my mind in the fact that he has to be like looking for another job at this point, right? Like the dude went from LSU to McNeese State and he brought them to a 30-win season. Maybe he's distracted and he's thinking about the next move and maybe they no show potentially. But also I had the exact same thought of Gonzaga of just like, yeah, this is not a great Gonzaga team. Like Gonzaga makes the tournament every year. I think they've made the Sweet 16 like every year since, I don't know, like last 8 years or something dumb.
Right.
But this is not the Gonzaga that we're used to seeing. It's a very different Gonzaga. So maybe they're gettable. That's basically why I have it as the best game, because ultimately when I was trying to decide who I think is going to win, I could convince myself either way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, I kind of want to use this game as like the segue into, you know, who could make a surprise run.
Yep.
Because I think McNeese could make a surprise run just because Kansas has been extremely hurt. You have McCuller and Dickinson who haven't played the last three or four games. So if they can get by Gonzaga, I think they have a good chance of beating the winner of Kansas Samford, which is also a very interesting game to kind of watch.
I don't know what to do with Kansas.
I don't either.
I have liked them at times. I've hated them at times. It's similar to how this is not Mark Few's best Gonzaga team. This is definitely not Bill Self's best Kansas team, but
no.
I think Bill Self has often done some of his best work with teams that I don't expect to go that far. Like obviously Kansas is a blue blood. They're great every year practically. But mm-hmm. if you think about their championship runs, a lot of times it came from those teams that were like, they're solid. They could do well. And then you have those teams that are like, Kansas is better than everyone. And they are going to be a Final Four lock. And then you see them losing before the Sweet 16 or something. So mm-hmm. maybe it's that this year from Kansas. I don't think it's necessarily.
I hope not.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Hunter Dickinson just, Like, he's the most frustrating player to watch.
He hasn't been as hateable on Kansas. He was very hateable on Michigan. Mm-hmm. I feel like Bill Self was like, you need to calm down or you're not going to play here. Because he just, I don't know, he had this edge to him in Michigan, and he, you know, he was very, very online and loved to call people out and all this kind of stuff. And I just feel like I haven't seen that 2 or 3 Hunter Dickinson tweets go viral, and it's just not the same. Maybe it's just because I haven't had to play him twice this year, and he's been, well, I guess I played him once. You played him once, but I don't know. He hasn't had that same effect on me this year, but I do. The lingering thought is in my head of just like, this guy sucked. He was the worst.
Right. And I don't I hope he succeeds in the NBA when he goes there next year, but I am hoping that he does not win a national championship, because that is one thing I don't think that I could ever get out of my mind. Other than an IU championship, like one of those phantom banners that are, you know, always being brought.
Anyways, moving on. My surprise run candidate, I also had McNeese State, but had the same thought that I had before of just like, I don't know, maybe Will Wade doesn't care at this point. He got his 30 wins. He's on to the next thing. And I had mentioned this one earlier that you're going to hate, but maybe Virginia is just so annoying that actually they're decent and they make a run, because they're just one of those teams that everyone hates that they even got in. They have to play through the play-in game, but like, maybe people don't want to see that pack line defense and they make their own little run. Do I necessarily believe either of those? No, but those are my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I could see it. I think that's very valid for sure. All
right. That is our bracket. Any other thoughts before I wanted to do quick Final Four predictions? Maybe if you want to give a champion. Any other things that we haven't talked about yet, though?
You know, I do think that this, you know, Midwest bracket does have a lot of potential to have the winner in it. Whether that's Purdue, Creighton, Tennessee, you know, I think those are three teams that have a lot of, you know, experience. They've got star power, and they are able to defend when they need to. You know, I think, you know, Tennessee, it wasn't one of the teams, I believe, on offensive efficiency that was that good, but defensively, they have been pretty good all season. And then Creighton, I think their defense has been up there. So, you know, there's three teams in that bracket that could, you know, lean on their defense to take them far in this tournament. And, you know, it'd be really interesting to see who ends up coming out of the Midwest, because it could be your champion.
Yeah, totally agree. I definitely think there are teams that have championship like pedigree to them that could ultimately, you know, we could see them hoisting the trophy, but there are questions with all of them. But I could, as we just did, you could go through all 68 teams to be like, oh, but what if this happens? And that's just the great part about this time of year. It's so much fun. All right, Final Four picks. We've gone through all our brackets, all four regions. I'll pass it over to you. You can go first. I know it's only Monday at this point. We've got 3 days until the games officially kick off. But
then I can change all of them.
Yeah, if things could happen, you could change all of them. But initial thoughts right now.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to be a homer, of course. I picked Purdue in the Final Four with UConn, Arizona, and Kentucky.
Okay, I like that.
You know, like we talked about, that UNC-Arizona bracket is pretty weak. I think Arizona and Caleb Love come out on top, and finally, you know, they break through that curse, just like Purdue, of how they perform in March. Because, you know, not a lot of people give Arizona as much crap as they give Purdue, but Arizona has lost to multiple high-seeded teams in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Arizona has Purdue to thank for last year, because they were the worst loss for a while, and then Purdue lost to a 16 seed, and that's completely forgotten, which I'm okay with.
yeah, I'm sure. what about you? Who are your Final Four?
Final Four picks over here. I have UConn. I can't pick them to every single game that I put them up against in that bracket. It could happen. You could play bad for one day. I was at their Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games last year in Vegas, and it was just like they just were on a different level. I know it's a different team, but I still have that thought in my mind, and they're 31-3 or something this year. Like, they're just, it's hard for me to pick against them. So I picked UConn. And top right, I went with Houston. I'm very chalk at the top. I think that ultimately it's time for Kelvin Sampson to potentially win a championship. And it seems like there are a lot of just incredible coaches in this bracket. And there's a few of them that have been left out of, you know, making it to the end. I think Houston and Kelvin Sampson are one of them. At the bottom, I get a little bit crazier. On the bottom left, I went Alabama. So I feel like this is probably similar to your thought with Kentucky, of just like, maybe they get hot and they're in a bracket where I think they can get hot and just kind of overpower some of these other teams. I think it's a weaker bracket that I just don't, it could go either way. And so I've decided that it's going to go the way that they make all their shots and they're athletic. So they make it to the end. Could totally be wrong. They could definitely go like 1 of 26 from three in their first round and be packing, but you never know. And then I couldn't do it in the bottom right. Sorry. I went Creighton.
I can see it.
Final four of UConn, Houston, Alabama, Creighton, all the reasons that I touched on before. And ultimately I couldn't pick a repeat champion. We haven't had one since 2006, 2007 with when Florida brought all five starters back and then won in 2007. I ultimately went Houston over UConn. The Cougars are the champions.
I think that's a solid pick. You know, I went UConn. You know, on my side, I don't think a lot of people can guard Donovan Clingan, Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer. Like, you know, just three guys that can really score the basketball. That pick and roll with Clingan and Newton's pretty unstoppable. And Clingan at the rim, he has more of an effect on defense, I think, than Edie does, because Clingan can block more shots. So I think ultimately, you know, UConn and Purdue play each other in the championship, and UConn does get the best of them.
Ah, so you couldn't ultimately pick Purdue. Okay.
No, I could not.
Got him winning five, but not that sixth. All right. I mean, I would be fine with that because it would be heartbreak for Purdue fans, but we'll see.
At least we got there. That's all I can say. Like, yeah, you know,
the last time I was there was 2002 and I was 6 years old. Then I don't remember it. I have watched the tapes, obviously, but can't remember it at all. My best years are flaming out in the Sweet 16 with Tom Crean on the sidelines. So, yeah, you'd have that over me for sure.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, again, we give a better performance this year than we have in the past, because I think Matt Painter, like Calvin Sampson, he deserves it.
Yep. He's a great coach.
Kelvin. That's right.
Yep. All right. That was Jacob Preston. Thank you for coming on. You're the first ever guest on the Sip of Naderade podcast. So thank you for coming on. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun, and I hope to do it again here soon.
That was awesome. Thank you again to Jake. I said it during the pod or during the interview, but just wanted to say it again. Thank you for joining. That was awesome. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. It's super fun talking about something that you're super passionate about, and it's awesome to kind of catch up with people that I haven't talked with in a while. So it was great checking in with Jake, talking some March Madness, and we'll be back soon. For now, I hope your thirst is quenched.